Michigan Rundown Podcast.
Walton, Chapman, hoist a three. Michigan wins!
At midcourt, extra pass.
And it goes for the win!
Presented by Jake Singer. Welcome, everybody, to the Michigan Rundown Podcast. My name is Jake Singer, and we are finally back with football. With one game down, 1-0, there are a lot of takeaways from this past game against Middle Tennessee State, and I'm going to get into everything. To start off, I was close, but not close enough with my score prediction. I would have liked for Michigan to not give up 21 points. Now, granted, the final touchdown was scored at the end of the game with, you know, the third string, fourth string guys in there. But it just looked like, you know, I don't know why, but yet the game was still stressful. And I feel like it should not be that for the first game. I don't know if you guys agree with me, if you guys felt the same way, but I was still not satisfied with everything that went on. And yes, I understand it's the first game and, you know, things are going to not go as planned, but I feel like there were still a lot of mistakes made and just a lot of things that could have been fixed. And I'll go all into this, but that's just right off the bat what I want to think about, because yes, we got the win, but for Maryland won 79-0 and Ohio State demolished, you know, their game. So I feel like with a team like Michigan, all eyes were on us, especially at nighttime. And yes, it was a very winnable game, and we did win the game with a hefty margin of 19 points, 140-21, but I just don't think it was enough. That being said, there were still a lot of great things to take away, and a lot of things that I had been speculating, other people had been speculating, definitely came true. So, speaking of true, you know, just I'm going to kind of get rid of all the bad stuff so we can get into all the good stuff. True Wilson left with an injury against Middle Tennessee State. You know, he was playing. He didn't get that many touches, but he went down with an injury. So that's number one. Now, Zach Charbonnet, you know, Christian Turner came in, stepped up to the plate, you know, rushed for over 200 yards. Michigan's run game looked phenomenal, and I was really ecstatic about that. That's a big thing that Michigan wanted to work on this offseason was run game, and I think they came out the bat, and that was probably one of the best parts of the offense that I saw was the run game. Next, though, was in warm-ups, John Runyon. I don't know if you had noticed, but John Runyon went down with an injury himself during the warm-ups. So Michigan was playing without one of their captains, one of their starting offensive linemen. Now, again, that wasn't much of an issue now, but we have to really take a good eye on that. I will definitely keep everybody posted on both True Wilson and John Runyon, but those are two guys that we really need to come back if we want to win some games. I don't know if you also know this, but Donovan Peoples-Jones, our number one wide receiver, had a boot on during the game. So that did worry me. I've been doing a lot of research into that. It looks like he should be good to go for the Army game, but it did scare me as well as I know multiple fans when we saw our star wide receiver with a boot on when we thought he would be ready by week one. So besides those three injuries, those are really just the negative stuff, I want to say. You know, we start off rocky. Shea Patterson fumbled on the first drive. Levert Hill dropped a punt, you know, and there were a lot of drop balls around the end zone, driving huge gains that were just dropped off the fingertips. That stuff needs to be fixed. You know, like, I can recall Mike Sanders still, he dropped the ball in the end zone. So that was a big thing. And there were balls being dropped left and right. So we need to fix that up this week in practice. But that was all the bad stuff. And for the first game, that's not too bad. Really just drop balls. Defense was, they held up their own. But I feel like they need to get more pressure on the quarterback, especially a team like Middle Tennessee State. We should definitely be getting pressure on the quarterback more. So, you know, the best thing we can do is pushing the team backwards. And we just need to keep doing that. I know we lost a lot of our defensive linemen, our defensive front. has been pretty much gone. So these guys need to kind of step up to the plate. Guys like Quiddy Pay, you know, he has to step up to the plate and get to the quarterback. So that's just my negative takeaways from the game. Other than that, yes, we scored 40 points. That's a lot of points. And there were a lot of great things. First of all, besides the fumble, Shea Patterson looked pretty good. You know, for the rest of the game, he, you know, didn't turn the ball over again. He was 17 of 29, had 203 yards, and he threw for 3 touchdowns. And those touchdowns, the guys were wide open, and I'm really glad he hit them in their marks. So that was great. The other quarterback, Dylan McCaffrey, looked amazing as always. You know, he had the rushing touchdown, you know, and he just kind of gave the offense a different look. I feel like I definitely agree with using 2 different quarterbacks. Not, I don't really necessarily agree with how they used them against Middle Tennessee State. Now, granted, we had opportunities to put in our backup, so McCaffrey got a lot more playing time than maybe he would be getting against a Big Ten opponent. But, you know, I feel like we could... I don't think they should be alternating, you know, within the same drive. That, to me, wasn't the smartest move. Especially when we were going for the 2-point conversion, and that was Shea Patterson who was in. You know, Dylan McCaffrey just ran the ball in. I feel like you should give him another opportunity to try to get the 2-point conversion. So that's just one thing I noticed. We'll have to see if that changes. But, like, I definitely 100% agree with, you know, mixing up the quarterback looks. And that really surprised the defense. Because one quarterback, they both can run. But Dylan McCaffrey runs a lot more than Shea Patterson does. But McCaffrey can still throw the ball. So you got to take that into account, too. And Shea Patterson is known for scrambling around the pocket. He can get yards on his feet. But he also threw for 203 yards. So we have a lot of depth in the quarterback position. You know, it's just the use of it wasn't what I would have personally done if I was a head coach. So that's just what I take away from the quarterback situation. O-line needs to protect. That was pissing me off. You know, I don't know about you guys, but yes, John Runyon's gone. But still, like, we have a very veteran-oriented offensive line. And it felt like Shea Patterson had, like, no time in the pocket at most, like, more than half the plays. He'd get the ball off in, like, 2 seconds. He's getting sacked. He's getting hit. Like, this cannot be the case. Especially if we want to be prized as one of the best offensive line, which I think we are, they need to do a way better job protecting. And yes, again, first game, chemistry, schemes, you know, not really, no, I guess it wasn't their best performance, but we know that they can do better. And with a guy like Shea Patterson, yes, he can get yards on his feet, but he needs to see the field first. And there were a lot of open receivers, but he wasn't hitting his targets because he had guys in his face nonstop. So the offensive line really needs to do a better job protecting the quarterbacks because, like, especially, you know, against Middle Tennessee State, you know, Army next week too. Like, these are teams where the quarterback should have all day to throw the ball. So, you know, we can't be giving them confidence when they're getting to the quarterback. Even if they don't sack him, they keep getting to him. That's going to wear him down, Shea Patterson or Dylan McCaffrey. But it's also giving the defensive linemen, like, confidence. And we can't do that because we should be the dominant team here. We should have all the confidence in the world. Especially a team like Ohio State. When Ohio State comes along and we're letting them sack Shea Patterson left and right, we're not going to win that game. Even Notre Dame, we're not going to win that game. It comes to the offensive line. And I came into the season thinking the offensive line was the best part of this Michigan team overall. Best position group. And I still stand by that statement. I still feel there were a lot of good things I saw. There weren't too many holding penalties. There weren't that many false starts. Like, that was really good about the penalties, I thought. That there weren't too many penalties being called on us. But they need to protect. You know? Like, you got to protect your quarterback back there. And that's number one rule. So, that's what I saw about the offensive line. Running backs. So excited about these running backs. Oh, my God. Charbonnet looked spectacular. Who knew that they were going to play him this much? And he actually stepped up to the task in his first collegiate game. You know, he had 8 carries. So that wasn't even that many carries. He had 8 carries and rushed for 90 yards. Including one run that was a 41-yard run. If that's the first game, oh, I'm excited. I'm not worried about this running back situation at all. You know, Caron Higdon's gone. You know, I'm it was really upsetting about that. You know, he had to leave because he graduated. But these new batch of running backs are coming in, and they did not disappoint. They had over 200 yards on the ground, Michigan, in total. That is superb. That is amazing. And Charbonnet had 90 of those yards. So, you know, I'm really excited about him. Christian Turner himself, man, like, he came into this year, not really many people expecting too much from him, and he came out to play. He had a great game. He did what he needed to do. He got the first down yardage, and that's just what you got to do. You got to take the pressure off the quarterback. You know, also, before I move on, Charbonnet also was doing very well pass protecting. As I was saying, the offensive line wasn't doing a great job. Charbonnet was handling those big guys that were coming right at, you know, coming at right at McCaffrey, coming right at Shea Patterson. He was, you know, taking them on, and I took notice of that, and I was really excited about that, because when you can have a running back who can catch the ball, can run the ball, and can pass protect, you don't need anything else from him. That was great. So, Charbonnet, keep doing that. Great job on that front. You looked really good. Let's keep it going. Get this Army team and keep it at them, you know? Okay. Wide receivers. They look, you know, DPJ, once he comes back, I think they will be even scarier. And there were a lot of open receivers against Middle Tennessee State. Now, yes, we hit a lot of them. But there were still a lot of drop balls and a lot of overthrows and stuff like that. So we need to fix that up. But, you know, Nico Collins had a touchdown. That was good. Ronnie Bell had some good plays here and there. But the biggest guy of all of them was Tariq Black. And Tariq Black, you know, in 2017, when he was coming in here, he was the guy. Like, everybody was so excited about him. And he was supposed to be, like, our wow factor. Like, one of the top wide receivers in college football. You know, he had, back in 2017 against Florida, I don't know if you guys probably don't remember this, but back in 2017, he had two passes for 83 yards against Florida, okay? And, you know, that season, early on, he was looking solid. Like, he was looking like a guy who was going to make a lot of noise. But then against Air Force, he broke his leg and was out for the entire year, right? So last season, that was 2017. And then last season, the week before the season opener at Notre Dame, he broke his other foot, and he needed surgery again. So the last 2 years have not been favorable to Tariq Black. On Saturday night, for whenever you're listening to this, he, you know, led all receivers in receiving yards, and, you know, he had four catches for 80 yards receiving. And he had the first touchdown, which was a 36-yard touchdown. Right off the bat, I was off my feet, excited. I am so excited for what he can do. You know, he has the talent to be an amazing wide receiver on this team. And he is kind of like a secret weapon for us in a way, because, again, he's been suffering all these injuries, so no one really knows what his full potential is. Even the Michigan staff, I don't think, really know what his full potential is. But if you have DPJ on one side, you know, you got Nico Collins, and then you got Tariq Black. Those three wide receivers, our wide receiver core is going to make a lot of noise. Shea Patterson can just get the ball in their area. They will be making those plays. So, you know, again, as I said, Nico Collins had a 28-yard touchdown himself. You know, these guys produce every game. Nico Collins produces every game. I don't worry about him, because I know he's going to get the ball. When he gets thrown the ball, he'll make those catches, because he's very good, you know, at making those really difficult catches. So if Tariq Black can be another guy that can come in here and, you know, worry the defense and put them on their, you know, their heels, then this wide receiver core is going to be unstoppable this year. So I'm really excited about that. Tariq Black is a guy to look for this year 100%. Again, noting that he has had injuries before, so you just got to make sure that he can stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. Defensively, not too much. One guy in particular I want to get to is Ambry Thomas. You know, he had an interception. And what's interesting about Ambry Thomas is that the middle of last month, you know, during an update during a preseason camp, Coach Harbaugh revealed that Ambry Thomas was dealing with colitis. And if you don't really know what colitis is, you know, it causes you to lose a lot of weight. You can be in pain. You could be bedridden in a hospital. Seriously. So that was a big concern. It wasn't in the news a lot, but that was something that, you know, I don't know if you've known or not, but that's what he's been dealing with. So he's been really battling getting just back in pads and getting on a field. And he had the interception. And that was great because it showed that he has been speaking about that he has personally felt like he's been lacking in confidence. But that didn't show. And, you know, getting that first interception of the year, for only interception on that team, you know, that was really good and that really helped him comp, you know, with his confidence, and that really sparked the defense. And I think that if he can keep that up, if he can, you know, keep playing stellar defense, then that's all we're really asking out of him. But again, not too much else with the defense. You know, 21 points against Middle Tennessee State is not that bad. It's not great. But there are just, again, as I said, you just got to get pressure on the quarterback. You got to get back there. These guys, you know, are coming. They're better than these offensive linemen we're facing. But again, we have to keep in mind that Rashawn Gary's gone. Chase Winovich is gone. You know, these guys have left. So, you know, it's on the younger core of defensive linemen, middle line, you know, and all this just defense in general. It's a very young defense. So it's on them now to pick up the slack and just to pressure the quarterback. As we saw even with Michigan, Middle Tennessee State was getting pressure on Shea Patterson, and it was showing because Shea Patterson was not making his throws. He was rushing, and we were having, you know, our drives were being stopped when we could have scored touchdowns on all those drives. And that was because Middle Tennessee State got pressure on us. So why can't we do the same? But that being said, a surprising defensive player besides Ambry Thomas, because, you know, we know about Ambry Thomas, but somebody who really kind of showed up last, you know, again on Saturday was Vincent Gray. You know, I haven't talked really anything about him, and he's not really been there, but he had 4 tackles and 1 tackle for loss, and he really made some big stops on some big downs. So that's just, you know, there were, as we say, you know, starters in football, you know, defense just rotates. So I was seeing a lot of guys that I've not really heard much of before. So it's really interesting to get our first look at some of these guys and see what they can do. And Vincent Gray was somebody who came up and really put on a show. So that's really my recap for the Middle Tennessee State game. You know, I will admit, one thing I will admit was I got the kicking situation, my prediction wrong. Now it's one thing that's really, you know, Moody did a very good job. He made his kicks. Both kickers played, but Moody got the start. So that was, you know, something I predicted Nordin to play to get the start. So that's just something that I'll admit to myself. You know, if anybody's like, oh, well, you guessed that wrong. Well, yes, I'll admit to it. I guessed it incorrectly. But the fact, end of the day, you need your kickers to make field goals. We were seeing, I was seeing all over the college football world that kickers are missing field goals left and right through all these games. And if you can get kickers that can make your field goals in college football, it matters a hell of a lot more than the NFL. So kickers actually are a really big part. So, you know, even if it's a week-by-week basis, who's going to play, who's going to kick, as long as they can make their field goals, I'm happy. So that's pretty much it. I'm going to come out probably in the next day or so with my preview of the Army game. So please stay tuned. But for now, week one is gone. Michigan is 1-0. We got to keep rolling. If we want to get to this college football championship, we got to keep winning games. So my name is Jake Singer. Please keep listening. This is the Michigan Rundown Podcast. Thank you for listening.